All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Hi, this is Wayu Shamika here. I just wanted to take this moment to express my gratitude and appreciation for all of the people that took the time to listen to Labyrinth of the First Gen. I hope that this will be a place that continues to be a community for first gens around the world. And I hope that you find that this place is a community for you. So thank you so much. And let's get started with today's episode. This is episode 8 of season 2. Welcome back to the Labyrinth of the First Gen. Today on the show, we have a mompreneur. Her name is Rakaya, and she is based in Jamaica. She was originally born in Senegal and lived in various parts of Canada and made a decision to relocate to Jamaica, where she is now running her own business full time. So we're going to have a conversation with her to hear from her about what does it mean for in terms of identity to come and be from multiple places? And also, what does it mean to be mom and to live in Jamaica? Here's a little snippet of today's episode.
The success was really, when I became a mother is when I saw the success, because I was like, wow, I don't have to go back to a job. When I'm feeling sick, I never had to call in sick. So that's where I found my joy, that thank God I set up this business beforehand, even though I'm not saying it's paying the bills or anything like that, but to just know that I'm free and that I'm capable and worthy of making that money for myself and breaking, as you said, those path and generational curse.
This is season 2 of Labyrinth of the First Gen, where we will hear the stories and the wisdom of leaders of African descent to learn more about how they are creating paths and breaking barriers across Central America and the Caribbean. This is Labyrinth of the First Gen, where we are pioneers just by simply existing. So I started the conversation with Rakaya by asking her the question, how would she define where she is from? And how does she respond to this question?
That's the gold question. I usually respond to that by saying that, talking about my heritage, of course, being Senegal, where I'm born, but I'm also defining it as what the realities that I had to go through. So for me, who I am is really who my ancestors were, because what happened to me when I relocated from Canada to Jamaica was really, it became a healing journey for me. At first, I didn't go there for any healing. I just went there on a rebellious move, actually, because I had an injury at work. But all this to say that I ultimately define myself being an African. So I don't really differentiate, like Canada or Jamaica for me are just different experiences that I've lived and have made me who I am today. And one thing I really love about this platform and this podcast is exactly that, is the fact that first generation doesn't, as you said, just mean being born in a different country, but it's really being the pioneers in those different areas. And for me, I think healing is where I want to really be that pioneer to remind people that we're not healing in these countries. Like Canada for me was, you know, waking up, working, paying the bills, all knowing that I wouldn't reach any of those goals, because the millennial goals is like, you know, have a house, have a husband, have the kids. And everywhere I looked, living in a big city like Toronto, because I lived in Quebec, I lived in Montreal, I lived in Winnipeg. And then Toronto was like the first time I lived by myself outside of the parental home. And the first shock for me was like, when will I even have time to have a family? Because I'm running after money that I don't even see coming in, because as soon as it comes in, there's already bills lined up to pay for.
Mm.
And then I'm just left with anxiety, stress. So who I am today is really those experiences that build my resiliency, but also build my self-awareness. For me, I was looking for who I am for a very long time. And I can even say till today, I couldn't tell you that I really know, but now I can tell you where I'm really from. And that's that whole journey at the end of the day was to go back to that, go back to the ancestral living, go back to the roots, go back to the natural food, go back, you know, to the basic, the simple life. So that was one of the first thing for me, living the busy, busy corporate life to living, you know, the island life.
Fakaya talked about what she discovered about herself along the way.
I discovered that I wasn't very grateful. I wasn't very grateful for what I had. And I always say that for me, the journey didn't really start with gratitude, but finding out how privileged I was. So for me, the change in environment taught me that, oh, you are privileged to be able to just pack your luggage and decide, oh, I'm going to go live in a different country for a while. Because for many, fear, doubts, you know, limited belief, I believe that a mindset is everything. For me, there needed to be a big shift of mindset, because I think as an immigrant, you're just fed like who you are because you're trying to fit in the system. No other kids look like you. So who you are is like what you hide in the deepest part of yourself. And if you add culture, African culture is very strict culture, it's not a culture that promotes authenticity. And when you come to Jamaica, people are very authentic. People are very themselves. Now, of course, it's due to history and other things, but it's just crazy to know that even though I believe that we're all Africans, we're everywhere, and we are divided in a way because the false narrative is put out there. So that's really who I am trying to be, is to find who my people were. So that's how I would define who I am.
That is a very beautiful reflection. A lot of things that you said really resonated with me. And I think even thinking about and reflecting on where you were in Canada, and even the lifestyle that you were living and wanting to change that and realizing need to change that. So really ties into what you mentioned about what your business goals are in terms of like teaching that to other women. So I would love to hear, when was the point when you were like, oh, I'm going to start this business and this is going to be the mission and the goal of what I want to do?
Yes, yes. Well, there is this say where they say you make plans and then God laugh. So I would say that that's pretty much what happened to me. So the goal was never to start a business. As I said, the goal all happened when I lost my corporate job in a very shameful way. So it's something that happened that kind of stained my reputation. And because it came at a bad time, it took a big turn in my life. I went through a couple months actually of, you know, the whole investigation about what they accused me of. And when I lost that corporate job, that's when I took the leap of faith, betting on myself. So instead of just going into the cycle of like, okay, how am I gonna update that resume? And how am I gonna put myself out there again to look for that 9 to 5, I decided to break, I believe, the first generational curse of my generation, which is stop working for people. So that was already the time in the back of my head. Like, as a youth, I've always been part of like youth achievement groups, you know, like groups where you kind of start up your own business and you go in the mall and you try to, you know, pitch it to people. So that was always a passion of mine, to be financially free, because freedom is something that I've always pursued as an immigrant who don't feel like they belong where they are, and they don't feel like they belong when they go back neither, because we are treated as like, you've been out of the country, so you're no longer, you know, you're a foreigner. So you're a foreigner anywhere you go. To go back to your question, for me, the idea of starting the business is just the experience. So what happened is that when I landed in Jamaica, because I visited from 2017 to 2019, but I decided on March 2020 to take the leap again and just go for a little while. And literally 10 days later, the pandemic hit. Wow. So it was mostly a situation of like, wait out.
But Kaya talked about how the COVID pandemic really provided a space and time for her to think about things that she wanted to do and what she was passionate about.
Was waiting it out and seeing where it goes. But of course, from 2019 to 2020, that was the year I bet on myself. So I pursued my own passion. And at the time, my passion was in voice. So my prior job, corporate job, was on board trains. So I was a service manager. I would like manage over 300 passengers. I'm communicating to engineers. I have a whole team that I'm working with. We have, you know, economy class, business class, different, you know, level of service. And all in that, I make announcements. So one time someone approached me and said, oh, like your voice sounds really nice. Like, do you do audiobooks? And I'm like, what's that?
Wow.
So he went on and explained to me that people can read books and be paid for it. So that's when I started looking in that year for that. And that's how I started making connection with voice actors, podcasters, and they kind of explained to me the hierarchy of how you get in. So when I was that year of freelancing, my best friend told me something about being a virtual assistant.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really know much. And of course, like I said, because of the mindset at the time, I just believed, oh, I don't want to be anybody in or like do paperwork or payroll. So I was very close-minded about the idea. So in the pandemic time, it's kind of like, okay, you have no choice. There's nothing else to do. I'm stuck in a house. Let me give it a try. So I give it a try and took that course. And I have to say that was the best course I've ever taken because it really gave me the foundation. So how to send an invoice, how to receive a contract, how to look really professional, really online. And my first idea was podcast because I was, like I said, in that industry already. I had been in at a conference just prior to that. So I decided, hey, how about I start a voice and podcast coaching business? So that's how I positioned myself at the time as a podcast editor. And you can imagine our scores in 2020. It was crazy. Mm. Like podcasting was blowing. Everybody was starting their own podcast. Celebrities were starting their own podcast. So that's really where the idea emerged. And of course, through the journey, it evolved into more of a coaching, personalized and customized, and then it turned into more of a strategy. And it's still evolving. And now we're expanding and we're more looking into doing retreats and healing. And we also have our podcast that's going to be coming soon. So all of these are really started from just a plan to, you know, a dream come true now.
We are going to take a quick break and we will continue when we return. Something that is also really exciting is that I'm offering free 30-minute office hours. So you get to schedule an appointment. I'm going to put that link in the show description and we can spend 30 minutes talking about maybe your feedback from one of the episodes or a moment in one of the episodes that stood out to you. Or if you are a storyteller, a person of color yourself, and you have many different ideas for a podcast or brainstorming what potentially a brand could look like for yourself, that can also be a conversation. So you can bring anything during this time and am looking forward to getting to know the audience of the Labyrinth of the First Gen and getting to know you. And we are back. This is the Labyrinth of the First Gen. This story around Black women being in the workplace and finding out that it's not how can I say, it doesn't enable them not only to grow, but also to think of their future, right? And this sort of mm-hmm. undoing that you were talking about realizing that, you know, you were living in Toronto or bills are coming in and your money is coming in, but it wasn't adding up, right? I think sharing that is really helpful for folks. And I think even talking about advice or giving advice to people that are seeking places or a way out, right? But with that being said, I'm very curious about, because I know you grew up in a different background, and that is also an additional cultural difference, maybe even within the household, on top of being in Toronto and being in Canada. So can you talk about what are some cultural things that come up for you that you also had to work through with figuring out, like, I want to be a business owner, I want to travel to Jamaica, I want to live in Jamaica, right? And what sort of things that your family or barriers that came up for you and choosing to do that?
Definitely. Well, at first, when I made the choice to be an editor, connectivity was definitely an issue. It would take hours and hours for video to upload or download. That would drive me crazy. So I would say first thing that it really tested my patience. When they say patience is a virtue, it's real. And when you come from a society that promotes survival mode, go, 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 you know, waking up on alarms, and then you go back to a culture that's very laid back and everybody takes time, this will really trigger definitely your level of patience if you have none. So that was something that I really had to embrace. And when you think about it, in the Western world is really mindfulness. So being able to really be in the moment, being calm and accept that things not going to go way you want them to go all the time. I would say that was one of the first barriers.
Rekaya talked about one of the challenges being the transition from going from a lifestyle that was dependent on this corporate world where she came from and completely changing that to a freelance lifestyle and how that affected her.
The second thing I would mention comes from the expression, wherever you go, here you are. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we might use traveling to another country or relocating as some sort of escape. And I think for me, it was almost like that at first, because I was freelancing, but of course, let's get it real. My job was a really high paying job to freelancing. It can't keep up, as you said, with the lifestyle. Lifestyle is really where I think the scam of the Western world happens, because they sell you this lifestyle, but nobody tells you that that lifestyle needs maintenance, just like a baby and anything else. And if you lose that really high paying job like I did, where are you supposed to be doing the maintenance with what, even if you do find a job? So for me, it's like God sent me signs, because I had a few job offers, but it just didn't turn out that way. And then I was able to be like, okay, let me just take the faith.
She highlighted the differences between being in Canada, where it's a very individualistic place, versus being outside of the Western context, and how it's a more communal place, and what that was like.
The second thing I would say for me was noise, in the sense that we're so used to being in the four walls, you know, we don't really interact with anybody. I guess in Canada, we could say we have winter, so we need to hibernate. But here it's very community oriented. People come call you early in the morning to come check if you're all right. People are very vocal about how they express themselves. So for me, who comes from a culture where it's like you wear headphones and you can't really put your phone loud on the subway or transportation, it was definitely a challenge, especially because I was a voiceover, so I was used to record myself for parts. So when you have like the rooster or the dog, we live completely off-grid. So we're in the mountains, so I'm surrounded by nature. So at night, there's the crickets. During the day, I have goats, I have rooster, I have dogs. So all these fights to be in the industry, of course, of podcasting and audio and voice and having like aiming for this high quality like audio was just, it was just not reachable. This is where I say, once you get into a different culture, you have to redefine your expectation. You have to redefine, you know, your goals. You have to redefine a lot of things, because when these challenges comes along the way, they sure to put a dent somewhere. So I know, I remember my first few clients, I would be so mad. I would have to like go in the car, like at a hot spot somewhere to be able to do my calls. And I still do, but now it's just my mindset change about it. I'm just embrace whatever come along. But before, I would just have like anxiety panics and have to go hide somewhere and process. This is why at the end of the day, I was like, you can't escape your own personal triggers. So for me, I discovered my triggers and I knew that I had to heal them, because without that, it would just take a toll on my mental health. And I would think lastly, and I think that happens in different countries, but we have to realize like Western friendliness is different in other countries. Some places, you know, it's known as fake. So Jamaican culture is part of that, where the smiley face or like coming too friendly or approachable is just fake to them. So that's not how you will be approached. And if you're someone who get offended like easily, then it will be very much of a struggle. So I guess that's what's really important in anywhere you go, is that it's kind of important to know you yourself, what you're willing to accept or not. And the only way is really by immersing yourself in the culture, because I could have decided to go live there and live touristic style and I wouldn't have to confront any of those challenges. Like my first ever visit to the Caribbeans was a trip to Cuba with two of my girlfriends. And I remember saying, I will never, ever go back to a resort again. Because I literally went all the way to Cuba to hear French Quebec people talk the whole weekend. So I was like, why did I leave Canada just to come hang out with Canadians? So that's when I did say that I will never go back to a resort. So for sure, when I went to Jamaica, it was right away the typical life, got an apartment. And of course, once I met my husband, you know, we got our own apartments, and now we own our own little board house in the hillside, living it simply, yeah, and humbly.
Something that came up for me is going to Jamaica, and you traveled to Jamaica before you actually decide to live there, right? Can you tell me what went into your decision to deciding, like, this is the place that I choose to be my next home?
It was based of a rebellious move. So what kind of started the whole thing is that I get injured at work. And in my whole childhood, you know, adulthood, early adulthood, I never even broke a bone. So when I got injured at work, I went through what they call the disability management or system, which was horrible. It was literally a system that treats you like you're not a human. And then they're fighting with a corporation to decide who's going to pay you for your injury. And in the meanwhile, you are on what they call modified duty. So for someone who was on the go all the time, like I've always been on a train from 2014 all the way to 2017. So can you imagine, for the first time in my life, I remember being at home on a Friday and saying, why is it so noisy outside? And then I realized, oh, I haven't been in my apartment in Toronto on a Friday since I moved there. Because my job at the time is very seniority based. So when you're new, which is pretty much the first 3 years, you get the crappy schedule. So the crappy schedule pretty much mean working all weekends, long weekends, holidays. Whereas people that are more senior to you can get, you know, their weekends off. So that's just to show you how I was like a workaholic. So when I got injured and go through this whole, I would say, mental tumble, I decided, where is the most rebellious place can I go on the globe? And of course, you know, the stories and the narrative, of course, of that the propaganda about Jamaica, I decided, oh, let me go to Jamaica. And I also had a friend who went there probably 2 months prior to that, and she had went to an Airbnb and it was fine. So I took the same Airbnb went there. And luckily, where I worked is a lot of the workers travel to Jamaica like all their lives, and then they retire there, like, because as a Canadian, you can live 6 months there and 6 months in Canada. So they're the ones who linked me with the driver. So everything was set up, and it was for my birthday, October of 2017. So my plan was to come for a week and pretty much really do a lot of activities. Like, I'm very active, adventurous. I wanted to zip line, dive, do whatever I could do. And my driver ended up being my husband. That's how we clicked in that first year. And because of the job I had was really flexible, I can do a certain number of hours and then not pick up my phone. So that's exactly what I did. Just, you know, like, do all the hours I could do and just leave, do a week or two and come back. And I did this for a good year and a half until that incident happened. And then I lost that corporate job. So that's my first time going, was based on an injury. The second time was really based on loss of a job and wanting to just find out, you know, what are the possibilities? What could I create here that I've never been able to create for almost 30 years in Canada? Because when I left, when I first visited, I was 29. Mm-hmm. When I first visited, and I'm 35 now.
I'm very curious about parents and family, and also perceptions of the life that you decided to live now. And if there were anything that came up as far as your family also trying to accept this decision to move somewhere else.
I think, well, at first when I was doing those trips, it's not like my parents were aware, because as I said, I had left the parental home 2014. So we're talking like almost, 3 years after. But when I knew things were getting serious, I introduced him like right away to my mom. They would talk over on the phone. And at the time, my parents were located in Texas. So even me, I was away from my parents. And when they made the introduction, I think when it comes to culture and tradition, it just pushed in the way of marriage, because my parents would never accept for me to live there and not be married to the person, especially because they've never met him. And with the pandemic coming, I was really wanting, you know, to go and see how things would be there and so on. Yes, so there was no way I would live there without us doing the union. So that's exactly what happened. I traveled all the way to Texas, and me and my husband got married, like, literally over video. And we married just religiously. And that was it. That's how I was sent off to Jamaica. So from there, it was never really anything to not like or not accept. And again, because, you know, the age factor, I think once you're 30 and more in the African culture, it's like, yeah, well, if that's the best you can get now, better have it. because they know I'm not gonna marry Sunny, because they tried that, you know, they introduced all the thing, we went to cousin, we like, at that point it's like we checked all the box, like the next could only be Caribbean.
When I asked was surprised that she now is married to a Jamaican and lived in Jamaica, she mentioned that she never thought that this would be her life or life journey.
Nevertheless, to say, I've never imagined in my life that I would be living in Jamaica and married to a Jamaican. I used to go out and dance because I love dance hall. I even tell the story to my husband till now that I used to live in Winnipeg, which is central Canada, and there's a big population of Jamaican. But in the time when you went to the club, you know, it's a 40, the top 40s, and then they might do 20 minutes of dancehall. And me and my best friend, we would just sneak out just for that 20 minutes. That's all I needed. And once the dancehall was done, I was like, okay, let's go. Let's go home. There was always a tie there where probably my parents saw trace that, oh man, definitely gonna lose this one to Island boy. But young, it's like you're under all those negative narrative. I would always hear very negative things about, not Jamaican specifically, but just Caribbean men in general. But I never really understood, because I was really anchored in, like, I'm probably going to end up marrying a Senegalese and living in Senegal. Because again, I didn't really see a future. Like, I love Canada. I love the fact that I live different places. But at the time, working as a millennial, as I said, with no finance backative or nothing, I didn't see how I'm going to be able to feed someone else. Mm. Whereas, you know, even becoming a mother in Jamaica, like, everything I felt was easier here.
I do want to mention or at least talk about being a mompreneur and what that means to you in terms of what are some advice or some things, challenges for folks that are moms and that would like to travel, live somewhere else with their child or have a child somewhere else. What sort of advice would you give to them about starting a business and creating their own path?
I would definitely say that it's possible. I think that's what we mothers need to hear. Because for me, as I said, I never even thought it was possible because it was not even a goal of mine. It's just the way things happen that it led to that. And it also depends, do you have a business? And then you because I had my business first, then had the baby. So that kind of helped me put my systems in place when I was pregnant, you know, hire a virtual assistant to post for me. So for me, everything was really in the planning. So I think once a child is involved in the traveling, it's different from like me who just took the leap of faith. I'm going to try something different. I think more planning will be needed. Of course, you know, you're going to have to consider, are you going to, you know, homeschool or are you going to adhere to the school system there? But again, keeping in mind that it is possible. I think the only extra thing that mothers need to do is that we have so many roles, responsibilities. So adding also a business is all about your planning. So knowing, you know, when are you the most creative? When are you the most, you know, you can't really do any work. And one thing that really helped me was finding other coach that teach women hormonal cycle and how that ties in with content creation. And I thought that was an amazing shift for me because when I discovered that, oh, after my period, I'm very creative, that's when I should create content. You know, just before my period, that's when I'm not creative at all. That's when I should, you know, just batch work or, you know, do things that are very like checking emails, updating systems, things that are very basic. So for mothers, I think it's about really keeping connected to our essence, our nature, which I learned what really controls women is their hormones. So this is where I say it has to be in the back of your mind that it's always a healing journey. You always have to be healing yourself so you can pour into others. Mm-hmm. As long as you don't do that, forget about starting a business, forget about starting anything.
As part of this, the interview, I always like to ask my guests if there was a question that they wish that I would have asked. Rakaya shared with me that she wanted to share more about her mission and her vision of her business and what is coming up next for her.
Well, in one short sentence, I would just really say we're redefining Black woman wellness one story at a time. That's really what we're trying to do. And this is why we are expanding this year into healing and retreats. That's where we're headed. So people can really get the experience. And I think that also would get a feel for people who want to relocate, how it feels like. And this is why in our retreat, we really focus more on the ancestral rooted life so you can compare. So you can really see how much does it cost you if you're just trying to transfer. Because if you're trying to transfer the lifestyle you have from either the US, Europe, or anywhere back into the Caribbean, then it's going to be very costly. So I believe the retreat will give that consideration to people. You know, sometimes it's just you can have it all planned, have all the money, but you go in with the wrong strategy and that just kills it right there. So that's really the goal, is to strategize and know ultimately what your goal is, because success is different. For me, the success was really when I became a mother is when I saw the success, because I was like, wow, I don't have to go back to a job. When I'm feeling sick, I never had to call in sick. So that's where I found my joy that, thank God, I set up this business beforehand, even though I'm not saying it's paying the bills or anything like that, but to just know that I'm free and that I'm capable and worthy of making that money for myself and breaking, as you said, those path and generational curse. First of all, Liu, for having this sacred platform and for having me on it, I am very thrilled to be here. And I was very thrilled to meet you also face to face. I think that always gives a different connection.
Seneme Rakaya for being guest on the Labyrinth First Gen show. And for anyone who would like to learn more about the work that Rakaya is doing, please follow Rakaya to learn more about her healing business as well as her work with podcasting. And she has coming retreat that she's going to launch shortly. So you can follow her, Rakaya Flow, on IG, on LinkedIn, and she's also on Facebook. I'm also going to put this information in the show notes for today. Again, thank you so much for being on the show and inspiring people to think outside of the box, think outside of where they live, think outside of where what they're doing. And the world is so huge, right? Full of people who are really challenging the norm. So I loved having this story here today. So with that said, thank you all for listening. We really appreciate you. Remember, if you can either provide some feedback, your stars on Spotify or iTunes, or if you can go ahead and fill out that survey, we would love to hear from you. This will really help us for season 3 of Labyrinth of the First Gen. Also, a reminder that I have office hours, so if you would love to just spend some time and chat with me, feel free to book an appointment, and I will also put that in the show notes. So thank you all for listening. As I like to say, be in peace, folks, and I'll see you later.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.